Hello, I've been asked to write an article about a book that has changed my life. This is Paul O'Mahony, and I am using this piece of audio to gather my thoughts in preparation for writing about the book. The first thing about the book I want to say is that I haven't been asked to review it. I haven't been asked to go through it and read every chapter of it again and summarize it for the readers. No, I've been asked to write a piece about a book that has changed my life. And I'm going to cheat in the sense that I'm going to pick two books that go together. And they're both by Tom Peters. They both had a second author, one of which was Robert Waterman, was the junior, was the author with Tom Peters. And that's In Search of Excellence. And A Passion for Excellence was written a little bit later by Tom Peters and Nancy Austin. Now, these books were published in the early 1980s. 1982 was the start of it in the United States. 1985 was when A Passion for Excellence was published. Both books became a constant companion for me. In certainly from 1986 on, what can I say? It's very difficult for me to summarize what I'm going to write, so I'm just going to launch into a sort of stream of stuff about the two books. First of all, I tie the two books up together. I couldn't really tell you without reference to the past what's in one book and what's in the other. As far as I'm concerned, they were both full of stories about companies, and they were written by people who were obsessed with customer service, excellent customer service. That was the bit that stuck to me about both of them. And the reason the two books became so important in my life is that I was already obsessed with customer service. The reason for that go back into my childhood and the fact that, you know, I'm the son of a man who had a bookshop. And I noticed how he dealt with people. I'm sure I sucked it up by osmosis into me. I became obsessed with customer service, not just because of what my father did, but because I myself was a customer and I was irritated and annoyed by the way in which I was treated so often in the UK during the late 1970s when I went to live and work there. Right the way through the 1980s. And by the time I got a promotion within London Transport in, first of all, 1984 and again in 1986, I was quite clear in my own mind that there were two main things that bugged me and that I was going to dedicate myself to. And one of them was customer service. I got an amazing opportunity in 1986 to be head up a team of people who were explicitly set up to change the culture in the bus part of London Transport so that it would become dedicated towards more and more customer service. Now, I'm not going to go into the details. I really want to talk about the books. I not only read the books, consumed the books, must have written all over my copies of the books, and you know, I greatly regret that I haven't got my copy of In Search of Excellence with me. I have a copy of A Passion for Excellence in front of me. Subtitle is The Leadership Difference. But the reason these two books, and I put them both together because I read them at the same time and I were so important to me, is that they were basically vindicating my own personal obsession, my own personal passion, my interest in customer service. And my rationale for why it mattered and the difference it made to business was vindicated and supported by Tom Peters' writings and the writing of the other people he was writing with. So that I basically used Tom Peters in order to give me leverage within the organization. By the time I had finished reading In Search of Excellence and A Passion for Excellence, I had greater clarity about customer service and its importance than any other person I knew. Or certainly that's the way I felt. So I had a weapon at my disposal for gaining influence within the organization. I had a weapon at my disposal for gathering a team dedicated to that purpose. I was able to talk to them using examples all the time taken from America. And that was quite controversial. Tom Peters was quintessentially American, a loudmouth, a strong speaker, an opinionated guy, given to exaggeration and excessive use of words. I loved him for all of that. He was different. The traditional understatedness of culture in England, in particular the southeast of England, was something I came to understand and enjoy in its own way. But there was a huge contrast. Coming from America was the influence of people who were saying things about why customer service mattered, but not just through the theory. The thing about Peters was that his books gave examples of real people. I'll never forget the story, and I'm not picking this out of the book. It stuck with me all the time since the 1980s, of the way in which in somewhere like Boston, some city administrator come leader went and actually got a piece of chalk or paint or something and put it around the potholes and went around identifying the potholes and photographing them and talking about them and built a movement for the fixing of the potholes. But the first thing was to highlight the state of the potholes. To me, this was that somebody would be obsessed with potholes was just sheer wonder. I loved it. That people were obsessed with aspects of customer service. In one of the books, the story is told about a guy who went into a shop, a store, using the American language, in Chicago, bought a very expensive shirt, I think, and a matching tie, and then left the shop accidentally leaving behind the tie, and got on a plane and went to Austin or somewhere like that in Texas. And then discovered that evening, before he was delivering the keynote speech the following day, or he opened his case and discovered that he hadn't got the tie. Meanwhile, the company had actually found out that he left the tie behind, had found out where he was going, and he had the tie delivered to him by courier, either the following morning before he had breakfast or that evening. And it was a case of, nothing is too much when it comes to delivering to the customer what the customer needs at the time the customer needed it. And this became, Tom Peters' books became, my Bible, my strength. They became my golf clubs. They became really the tools I used to enable me to become good at my job. I did weird and wonderful things when I think back on it, and I was kind of shocked at what I did now that I think about it. I took my team to see, or several members of them, to see Tom Peters present in person. Now, he was very expensive. We went to the Barbican, I remember for sure. I have a feeling I saw Tom Peters present twice. But the one I remember was in the Barbican, and there were about six of us at the table, and we paid a lot of money. Now, we didn't pay a penny. It came out of the corporate budget. I had a substantial budget to spend from. I had an amazing team of people put together in a most astonishing way, really, when I think back on it. We were change agents within the bus part of London Transport. And that's another story. But the books made a huge difference. Little did Tom Peters know that in that room were bus drivers, bus conductors, bus engineers, bus inspectors, the rank and file within an organization, and they were listening to Tom Peters. It was a phenomenal education. I mean, I don't think I asked Tom Peters a question. I have a habit of asking questions when I go to conferences and when I go to speakers. But if so, I can't remember all I do know is how powerfully he engaged with people in the room. After going to see Tom Peters speak and after, pushing the books around among ourselves, we were oriented. We were, our head was in order, and we set out to have confidence in our own work. And as a result of having confidence in our own work, we were better at it. We had immense clarity about what we were doing as a result of having Tom Peters on our side, if you like. The books made a huge difference. They changed my career. They changed my love of my work, I'm quite sure. And I have a lot to thank Tom Peters for. It was before Thriving on Chaos, which was another book, which also I have to throw in. But I'm going to concentrate really on In Search of Excellence and A Passion for Excellence. And I'm going to just open the book, because I have someone, I don't know why, I've got this, I must have bought in a shop, basically. So here we go. God, this is going to take things back for me. Let's get even more ridiculous. This is Tom Peters on page 139 of the paperback edition. Consider the development of the basic oxygen furnace, BOF. It turns out not to have been a meticulously planned 10-year, 100,000-milestone effort inspired by MITI. BOF technology emerged from Nippon, Kokan, and then the third largest steel company in Japan, now second, approaching first. And within that steel company, it came from the second and far less respected, bracket disdained if the truth be told, group of technologists. Thomas, rather than open heart engineers. Moreover, within that least respected group, a young fanatic was at the core of it. A young fanatic was at the core of it. This is what I love about Tom Peters. He talked about young fanatics. Pretty much against his superior's wishes, he went off to Austria to learn about their early experiments with BOF. He came back, commandeered some outdated equipment, an old ladle, carried out BOF experiments offline. The story is, of course, more complex, especially when we get to the final exploitation of the technology in Japan, half a dozen to a dozen years ahead of the Americans. But essentially, it is clearly a skunk work tale. Oh yeah, he used that word, skunk work. A small group competing against a stronger and more respected technology group in-house against bigger companies in Japan as a whole and led, as is so regularly the case, by a fanatic champion. And I suppose, to be truthful, I personally felt myself to be a fanatic champion of customer service. So here I was, getting encouragement by stories being told about other fanatic champions. It was just wondrous. Okay, that's 12, 13 minutes. I think I'm allowed to write a review of the book or a piece about the book and how it changed my life for 3 minutes. So I've only just barely started the work. I've got to get from, let us say, 12, 13 minutes back down to 3 minutes. And that's the challenge I face. But a wonderful challenge. And by the way, in case you're wondering who on earth asked me to write this piece, it's a man called Adon Enright. He runs an organisation and a business called Smarter Egg. He's based in Cork in Ireland, and you can find him on the internet by basically, you know, looking for him or his business called Smarter Egg. And he has been another person who has helped me to do the work that I do. And I want to thank him for giving me the great opportunity to write this. It's a bastard of a thing to get down to 3 minutes, isn't it? Okay, it's Paul O'Mahony. I've said enough for now. I got to get on with the work now. Bye.